This is At Your Service, a series of GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service, highlighting programs and services intended to improve your quality of life. Joining us today for this month's episode are staff of the ADA Coordinator's Office and the Office of the Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission. Mike Galifianakis is the State ADA Coordinator. Mike, how did the ADA Coordinator's Office become part of the Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission?
Our agency, the Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission, is responsible for dispersing bond proceeds for construction projects funded all or in part with bond proceeds. And one of our office's core services, the ADA office, is the operation of the ADA Facilities Improvement Program, in which general obligation bonds are sold to improve disability access to state government facilities. Your question is very pertinent because the ADA is about much more than facility access.
And can you give us a brief history of the ADA?
The Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, or ADA, is a very broad and comprehensive civil rights statute for people with disabilities. It covers all areas of civic life, including employment in the private and public sector, access to state and local government services, access to privately operated businesses that are places of public accommodation, transportation, and telecommunications. So it's very broad and comprehensive. Title II of the ADA establishes requirements for state and local governments to ensure that programs, activities, and services are usable and accessible to people with disabilities. So our office, the State ADA Coordinator Office, is structured to help our state government agencies meet our responsibilities under the ADA applicable to our public mission. That is to ensure that whatever that state agency's program, services, and activities are, that they are also accessible to Georgians and everyone else with disabilities.
All right. More specifically, how does your office help state agencies?
Our office works with state agencies in a number of ways. Early on in the office history, we would help those agencies with what are called self-evaluations. That is, take a look at the program, services, activities you offer and evaluate where there may be gaps in access to service for folks with disabilities. So, for example, if you have a program that's a mentoring program or some other kind of school access program, if persons who are deaf want access to that program, is there a way to ensure that we can ensure effective communication, i.e. provide qualified interpreters or some other kind of alternate document formats for folks who may have visual impairments or other kind of sensory disabilities? So you do a self-evaluation, and our office would go through and help those agencies identify where there may be gaps in access. And we do that by working with checklists established by the U.S. Department of Justice. Currently, we help those agencies update those self-evaluation plans. So that's one part. A second part is helping the agencies with what are called transition plans. That is, identifying where, if programs are in facilities that are not accessible, helping identify where the barriers to access may be, and helping to modify those facilities or otherwise provide access in some alternate way. Another way we provide assistance is just training on maybe human resources or employment-related issues so that our agencies understand what the obligations are to ensure reasonable accommodation to an employee with a disability, a qualified employee with a disability. And so we offer different services. It's helping update, strengthen those self-evaluations and transition plans. We do operate that state facility improvements program. We provide customized training or general training on ADA topics. You know, the state agencies are our customers, so it really depends on what they need, what they want us to do. And then we work on specialized projects that have a real specific focus on an area of importance to folks with disabilities.
And while your office works with state agencies, the help you provide them also ends up helping the public.
The general public, people with disabilities, disability organizations are our ultimate stakeholders. Primarily, we work with state government agencies as our primary customers. We work with code officials to make sure the programs are accessible. But that being said, we interact with people with disabilities all the time and really welcome and encourage the feedback, because we need to know from disability and disability communities and organizations where barriers to access may be. So it's really important that folks share with us what their concerns are.
Mike, it's my understanding the ADA covers so much more than physical access.
Right. So the ADA is very broad. It's very comprehensive. It covers facility access, effective communication, ensuring that folks with sensory disabilities have access to the same opportunities. It covers folks with intellectual disabilities, folks who may have mental illnesses or other types of disabilities. So, yeah, the ADA is much, much more than physical access.
And does your office contact other state agencies, or do they contact you when they need help?
it's a two-way street. We do a lot of outreach, and we have some wonderful agency partners that we work with on these projects or on training. So they're in the loop, so to speak. They know when our trainings are coming, or we're in constant contact. Sometimes if there is an issue that we need to address, we may directly contact the agency ourselves, introduce our agency to the or introduce our office to those individuals and say, we'd like to talk to you about a particular issue or general area of access that we'd like to assist you with.
Are there any exceptions to ADA compliance?
For state government, the ADA is very broad, and it's to be interpreted, well, it's to be interpreted very broadly. It covers areas including state prisons, all parts of the correctional justice system with a it covers all aspects of the criminal justice system. There are very few programs, and none that I can think of, that might be exempt from coverage under the ADA. It's very broad. Okay. So, and if I can add, there's, it's a misnomer to say we're grandfathered in from having to comply with the ADA. The ADA is a common sense law. Doesn't necessarily mean that an entity's got to expend undue amounts of money to address an issue. But you still work through that evaluation and identify the best way to provide access.
Mike, you spoke about transition plans earlier. Do the state's agencies have a specified time frame to comply if you find that they are not, in fact, compliant previously?
For facility access, the transition plans should have been completed in the early 90s, and any work that's required to be undertaken to improve access should have been completed in 1995. But programs, services, and activities are continually moving around. We relocate facilities, and so that's why it's still critically important that we operate this program, because when an agency moves into another facility that may not be a new building that's just been brought up online, but it's an existing building, we still need to go in and do these assessments.
So how many agencies are you responsible for?
There are probably more than 80 executive agencies, and so a significant number of those agencies operate facilities. So you think about the Board of Regents and all of the schools, and then all the buildings at those campuses, the Department of Technical and Adult Education, and the technical colleges, the correctional facilities, all of the driver services programs, all of those are, you know, it adds up to quite a bit.
Also joining us today is Tim Bromlich, who is senior ADA architect.
So my primary function would be to manage the state facility improvement program and all the bonds that we have and the funds that we have to give each different facility type agency to construct alterations for access.
Tim, is this task for new construction only?
Well, that's actually a little bit different function of our construction division. There's a design review group up there that reviews the plans for all new construction. I do get involved up there and review of plans and things like that, but my primary function is with the existing facilities that we have so many of, all the existing state colleges and state parks and prison facilities that are all over our state, and they're all existing buildings, and they're old, and many of them in the beginning, well, they're better now because of our efforts, but in the beginning, many of them were inaccessible to people with disabilities. So they didn't have ramps to the entrances of the facilities. They didn't have accessible routes. They didn't have accessible parking. They didn't have accessible bathrooms, drinking fountains, telephones with volume controls, etc. And so we went in and looked at every type of facility. So, you know, we're looking at dormitories. We're looking at classrooms. We're looking at performing arts theaters. We're looking at prison systems, at different types of prisons. We're looking at all of our state parks and all the different functions that they have. So you might be looking at an access to a lake, access to a playground, access to camping, access to RV trailer parking, access to many of the facilities that they have at state parks for group shelters and picnic shelters, etc.
That sounds like a massive amount of work.
I've been with the office for 13 years, and it has been a lot of work, and we've probably applied about $35 million plus towards this effort.
How is all of that paid for?
Well, it's a general appropriated bonds, so it's not actually taxpayer dollars. Bonds are sold through our finance division That money is held by our finance division and then our construction division. And that's really kind of one of the ties that brought the state ADA coordinator's office over to Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission. So that with our construction initiative for the existing facilities, we would use those state appropriated general bonds for our funding. And so they've been given out to our agency over the 13 years that I've been there, you know, and $3 million this year, $2 million the next year, and skip a few years and $6 million, you know, things like that. So it hasn't been a constant flow of money, but we've certainly been able to make a lot of alteration changes and physical access over that time. And I believe we've gotten most of the big things out of the way. However, like Mike pointed out, they've got those facilities where changes occur. They move into old retired buildings. They bring them back online. So we've got, so it's a constant kind of an operation to make sure that access is always provided.
Tim, we've talked about how your state agency is designed to serve other state agencies in interacting with the public. That interaction is more of an indirect nature, like encouraging the public to contact the state if they run into an access issue at a state building. Is that correct?
Well, that's really the best way to handle any type of, I guess, difficulty or complaint a person may have with one of our state facilities. But we interact with the public in many different ways. We train our fire marshals because they enforce the Georgia Accessibility Code, for example, so that they understand how to interpret the Georgia Accessibility Code. We also help and assist architects, engineers, lay people understand their obligations as well. So we interact with the public in many different ways. Plus, when we deal with specific agencies that have functions where they deal with the public, like the Georgia Emergency Management Agency, well, that's a core agency that deals with the public directly, and we assist those agencies with a better understanding of accessibility, for example.
We know a lot of work has been done to make state agencies accessible. And, of course, we've heard how state agencies move sometimes or change operations, which means you guys have to go back in and help bring the facility or program up to compliance standards. How far would you say have we come in making state agencies accessible?
Well, everybody wants to know if there's light at the end of the tunnel, and there is. It may be a distant light at this point. I wouldn't say that we've got mountains of work ahead of us, but it's kind of a... once you get things, well, for example, what was good access in 1995, 20 years later, well, and since 1990, 20 years later, that access, same access, it was okay then, is not okay now. So we're still having to re-examine some of the facilities to make sure that access is provided to the best level, because we want to be an exemplary state. We want to make sure that all of our core functions and all of our facilities are exemplary in their access. So it's always an embetterment type of program.
Tim, we understand you have a few more credentials behind your name as well.
Apart from being the senior ADA architect, I'm also a deputized fire marshal for accessibility in Georgia, and in that capacity, I train fire marshals and code officials. The purpose of this training is to add accuracy and consistency for code interpretations. Our office hosts two or three trainings a year at locations we designate, and I also travel off-site locations in different counties to train fire marshals and other code officials at locations of their choosing. I offer trainings from 1 hour to 6 hours that are all accredited with the Georgia Firefighter Standards and Training Council. So training is definitely one of my core functions.
And fire marshals are responsible for enforcement of the standards of the ADA?
Not exactly. In Georgia, there are two standards in effect. Our fire marshals and local code officials enforce the state standards, known as the Georgia Accessibility Code. On the federal level, the ADA is enforced by the U.S. Department of Justice.
Tim, does a state agency ever get cited by your office for noncompliance?
No. Where our state agencies are concerned, our role is not one of enforcement, but guidance in the form of technical assistance and funding to ensure access to the citizens of Georgia where our programs, activities, and services are offered. So we do not cite our sister agencies, but merely give them the guidance they need. So hopefully they keep from getting cited by the Department of Justice and stay out of trouble.
So you would encourage Georgians to contact you?
Anytime anybody has a problem with one of our state facilities, feel free to call our office, and we'll organize some kind of assistance there. If there's a there's an agency we need to contact, we'll be glad to do that on the behalf of the person filing that has a problem or concern with one of our facilities.
All righty, thanks, Tim. Barbara Tucker, Information and Referral Specialist with the Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission. You're up next. Barbara, tell us what you do.
As an Information and Referral Specialist for the State ADA Coordinator's Office, I provide both administrative and technical support to the ADA team. I also maintain the information and referral database, assist with ADA training classes, maintain the ADA library, and coordinate meetings. In addition, I also work with clients to identify helpful and reliable resources, both within the coordinator's office and externally.
And how do you do that exactly?
By providing technical assistance that includes the office response to requests for information via telephone, fax, email correspondence, and in-person consults. Although these requests often require additional research and follow-up communications, they are handled and closed relatively quickly. The ADA team works diligently to respond to each technical assistance request within the same day that the request is received.
And what agencies do you partner with?
We partner with state government agencies and disability-related organizations for our ADA projects. We also provide resource information for those agencies and organizations, as well as general public, on a wide range of areas of interest, including advocacy support, employment, transportation, housing, and recreation. Now, we do not provide direct services in those areas unless the issue is directly related to state government, but this resource information is designed to help individuals find the information they are looking for.
And accessibility to a state facility, that means access by people with and without disabilities?
Yes, that's individuals with and without a disability.
I understand you have a resource list of help agencies that you can provide to the public.
Yes, we have resource information available on multiple levels, for example, deaf and hard of hearing, education, health care, mobility impairment, to name a few. GARS listeners can visit our website at www.ada.georgia.gov for more listings.
And usually, you can assist almost anyone who has a question or concern with your list of agencies, correct?
You can contact our office at 404-657-7313, or you can review our website for a list of agencies at www.ada.georgia.gov.
And there's an email address as well?
Our email address at gaada@gsfic.ga.gov.
Barbara, how about a few words of encouragement for our listeners today?
We really encourage GARS listeners to contact our website at ada.georgia.gov.
Thanks, Barbara. The ADA Coordinator's Office in the Office of the Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission also works on special projects. Also joining us today for this month's episode of At Your Service from the Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission is Stacy Valerie Peace. Stacy, tell us about some of these special projects.
One of our projects is a customer service guide that we created for State of Georgia employees when interacting with an individual with a disability. We have distributed over 4,000 interacting guides, and our office is currently providing trainings to State of Georgia agencies based on the information in the guide. Another project is the Georgia Emergency Preparedness Coalition for Individuals with Disabilities and Older Adults.
And can you give us a little insight about the coalition's makeup and mission?
The coalition consists of stakeholder agencies throughout Georgia. The mission of the coalition is to serve as a comprehensive clearinghouse between local advocacy groups serving individuals with disabilities and older adults and state agencies responsible for emergency preparedness and response under the Georgia Emergency Operations Plan.
So who makes up the coalition?
The American Red Cross, the Southeast Disability and Business Technical Assistance Center, the Georgia Advocacy Office, the Georgia Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities, the Georgia Department of Community Health, Georgia Department of Human Services, Georgia Emergency Management Agency, State ADA Coordinator's Office at Georgia State Finance and Investment Commission, Tools for Life with the Department of Labor, the Georgia Council for Hearing Impaired, otherwise known as GACI, the Georgia Radio Reading Service, otherwise known as GARS, the Friends of Disabled Adults and Children, FODAD.
And Stacey, what would you say the purpose of the coalition is?
The coalition's purpose is to serve as a comprehensive clearinghouse between local advocacy groups serving individuals with disabilities and older adults and Georgia agencies responsible for emergency preparedness under the Georgia Emergency Operations Plan, promote and maintain an active dialogue by serving as a conduit between individuals with disabilities and older adults and Georgia agencies responsible for emergency preparedness under the Georgia Emergency Operations Plan, and provide subject matter expertise to emergency preparedness response planners to ensure that all emergency plans incorporate the needs of people with disabilities and older adults and organizations throughout Georgia that serve and advocate for people with disabilities and older adults, enabling them to share disaster preparedness and response information with their constituencies.
All right. How about a brief history of the coalition?
The coalition started in June 2006 as a work group with four members. Those members were the Georgia Advocacy Office, the Georgia Emergency Management Agency, Division of Aging, and the Department of Human Resources, Division of Public Health. And during that time, the work group established a list of 9 goals to address the needs of individuals with disabilities. Those goals are to educate the general public about emergency preparedness, open and maintain an active dialogue with organizations and associations that represent individuals with disabilities and older adults, encourage and support local preparedness efforts, collect and disseminate best practices, involve stakeholders in evaluating shelter viability and accessibility, determine ADA and other legal requirements for emergency preparedness, and communicate those requirements to first responders and other emergency management agencies, determine current training levels, efforts, and needs of first responders regarding preparedness for individuals with disabilities and older adults, and assist with the development of transportation plans for individuals with disabilities and older adults.
Stacey, we understand that the coalition has now moved into a new committee structure, which should make goals easier to track.
Well, the coalition is now consists of committees that we've broken into to try to reach some of these goals that we have. Those committees are the Outreach Committee. We have a Transportation Committee. We have a committee that works on a link to the federal government, a Training and Technical Support Committee, and we have a Sheltering Committee.
So this coalition is keeping other agencies informed so that citizens all over the state are also informed about emergency preparedness and response?
We've actually started a network with agencies within the state that may not be members of our coalition, but just want to be in the loop, per se, and want to receive information from our coalition on emergency preparedness and information that they can provide to the citizens that they serve. We've been reaching out to different organizations, contacting them, sending them information, and asking if they'd like to be part of that network. If you're unaware if an organization or an agency that you work with is part of the network, feel free to speak to that agency, or you can contact us and ask us if your agency is part of the network, and then we'll try to reach out to them to find out if they would like to be part of the network. Primarily, we send information out to those agencies via email, give them updates to let them know how they can help the people that they work with to be best prepared in case of an emergency.
All right. I understand also that the coalition has completed a tips guide for emergency responders.
Another project that we've completed within the coalition is a tips guide for first responders. The tips guide is a laminated guide that has tips on how to best work with individuals with disabilities and individuals who are older adults during an emergency. It gives them tips on if someone has a service animal, or if there's specialized equipment that needs to go with the person to the shelter, if someone has a communication disability, how to best communicate with them, how to maybe work with someone who may have a mental health impairment, and how to best work with them in terms of making sure that they get to the appropriate shelter and that the emergency situation is handled as best as possible and that person doesn't have a worse experience because, you know, the first responder doesn't know quite how to work with that person.
And to let you know, to date, we have distributed over 2,700 tips guides to first responders across the state.
And there is also a brochure on emergency preparedness and response that is available in alternative formats.
The Georgia Emergency Preparedness brochure that is available in Braille, large print. It's also available in HTML format and PDF format on our website.
And to date, we have distributed over 16,000 emergency preparedness brochures across the state.
All right. Our many, many thanks to Mike Galifianakis, Tim Bromley, and Barbara Tucker, and Stacey Peace for taking time to join us today for this month's episode of At Your Service. Just to recap, and quoting from their website, the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, provides comprehensive civil rights protections to individuals with disabilities in the areas of employment, public accommodations, state and local government services, and telecommunications. Title II of the ADA calls on state and local governments to ensure that qualified individuals with physical and mental disabilities are afforded equal opportunity to participate in those programs, services, and activities offered by state and local governments. The State of Georgia's ADA Coordinator's Office serves as a technical resource to state agencies for the ADA's Title II General Non-Discrimination Requirements, Program Accessibility, Communications, and Employment, including the Reasonable Accommodation Process. It operates the statewide ADA Facility Improvements Program. It assists state agencies in updating, strengthening, and enhancing the scope of self-evaluation and transition plans to ensure compliance with the ADA mandate. It conducts general and customized training on ADA topics for state agencies. It provides informal technical assistance about the ADA to the general public, collaborates with the local ADA support systems, and it increases the visibility of the ADA to help more citizens understand the letter and the spirit of the law. And the State ADA Coordinator's Office is a section of the Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission. For more information on what we've discussed today, please contact the state's ADA office at the Georgia State Financing and Investment Commission. Their phone number is 404-657-7313, or you can post an email to them at gaada@gsfic.ga.gov. Again, that phone number, 404-657-7313, and again, that email address is gaada@gsfic.ga.gov. I want to thank all of our guests today, and of course you, the listeners, for checking us out at Your Service on GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service.